station from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing K. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way.
This is Brother Cornell West. I am blessed to be on this magnificent show, What's the 411 with Sharon K, 88.1 FM WFSK.
See, that's it right there, y'all. I'm good to go now. I think I can make it through the rest of the day. I think about him all the time because Dr. West be leaving some stuff in your head, you know. He really does. You can't help but, you know, remember some of what he says. Anyway, hello, Nashville. All of my truly wonderful people. What's up, y'all? Now, here's what I want to say before we roll on. Everybody, the world is whirling fast. So, could y'all breathe during 4 to 6 o'clock play? Okay. Come on, let it out now. Stuff is whirling so fast that people can't keep up. They about to lose their minds. You know, I just, you know, I get it, y'all. I get it because it's like that for us too, let me assure you. It's not just your world. It's the our world, and the media have to cover everything. Popcorn popping, bling, ding, ding, mm-hmm. bling, ding, ding. I mean, it is nuts. It is nuts. So knowing that that's the case, I'm going to be breathing heavy while I'm here on my show today because
this is, yeah, a lot going on.
Oh, a lot. It's just, yeah. Well, I mean, the going on and everybody else's going ons and the schedules that, and trying to get folks' schedules. And they're like, I thought you was. And I'm like, look, that was a couple days ago. we, you know, things are different. Well, you said, and, you know, blah, da, da, da. And, like, I have been making this observation. This is my own personal research point. Because I am just checking. Have you noticed that you could be in a conversation with someone and they're not paying any attention to you? okay. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. And have you noticed that... you get so much email because that is for some people their only mode of communication that no one ever reads past the first couple of words. They immediately go into, well, what you mean by that? And I'm like, yeah. Have you breathed today? Did you read the fifth word in the third sentence? It's not that serious.
You got to put emojis in the email.
I don't even have time for emojis. That means I got to look for them. I'm just saying, emails overstate, y'all. And if your world is an email-filled world, everyone is not a threat. Everyone you get is not somebody trying to... You got to say LOL or ha-ha-ha. You know, you can't communicate like normal. Well, you could. So a lot of the people that do business with me and know me, I'm like, cut this thing off. And if you need something, call me. You know how much time you waste in trying to get an answer on
back
email?
And forth and back
oh,
and forth.
Lord Jesus. You know, my whole 2 or 3 days later, you're finally getting a response. Mm-hmm. I'm like, now, see, I needed my stuff quick. I didn't need to get it when you got around to it or you felt like it. I mean, you get what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. When things are time sensitive and everything you do is time sensitive and everything the person that you're trying to reach does might be time sensitive. where do you fall in the pecking order?
Wherever your email lands.
Well, and see, that's the thing, because that's the thing, you know.
That's why you got to call.
Well, I'm just saying that's the thing, because no one reads a thorough email anyway. They just go by the first two or three words of the first sentence, and they take it out of context. And, you know, to me, sort of, in a way, it kind of says, is this what you really thought all the time? I mean, you know what I'm saying, when it's the exact, it's stuff is largely what I've noticed from being in all my decades in communication. Communication, even though we have all these ways and means and et cetera to communicate, there's still a ball of doggone confusion out here like crazy, isn't it not? I mean, for real. So having said that, that's why I'm asking y'all to breathe. So just come on for real, do it. Because if you don't, you know, some of y'all are just going to explode from the sheer stress and pressure of, you know, pedaling fast as you can. Let me give you a visual. Remember the movie The Wizard of Oz?
Yep.
And the, was it The Wicked Witch? Was on that bicycle pedaling. You know the music that was playing while she was pedaling. That's what it seems like people are going through, you know, all day. And so this is your moment. I won't say of zen. It's just your moment. When I'm asking all the audience to just start breathing, y'all, during the 4 to 6. I'm not trying to hurt you. That's not my role. I'm a sweet granny. How many times a day I got to tell folk that? And I'm a lord, so, you know, I ain't trying to hurt you. But anyway, so much today in terms of information from the show. Excellent guests. And I'm thrilled. This hour, Dr. Michael Greger is going to give us the information on his book, How to Survive a Pandemic. That's important information.
Yes, it is.
And he is, Dr. Greger is a New York Times bestselling author of How Not to Die and founder of NutritionFacts.org. And this is his latest book out, and it is rather thick. And he's a founding member and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and is a physician, as well as other things, and he does a lot of work in the nonprofit realm. So we'll be hearing from him this afternoon with hopefully some very practical information. But I just, you know, before we go to him, I want to just, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot as it relates to the pandemic, as it relates to the AIDS virus, and how those two different things were the behavior of people during those times. Because you remember back when we were, the AIDS wasn't really named or identified or anything, and people were in a full-blown panic about it like they are now. And people that work in prevention or healthcare know exactly what I'm talking about, because everybody was trying to do the proper messaging and give people the proper information, because this thing was escalating and people were dying, and you weren't sure which audience it was. You weren't sure if it was kids. You weren't sure if it was blood. You weren't sure if it was sexual, or if it had anything to do with drugs. You weren't sure about so much that it just made people just freak out, you know. And
misinformation.
Oh my gosh. And that is how things progress. And you know, just like with this pandemic, you are just not going to know from the first day one that every single solitary thing, it's going to take time for discoveries to happen. And so why turn that into a conspiracy theory? Mm-hmm. And why not just realize that's how it goes? And because I can remember some stuff I remember was staying out of swimming pools. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Because it would get on you in the pool.
Yeah.
And I also remember prevention campaigns that I actually had to distribute the information for, because that was part of my job, on don't touch beach balls, because you can get it from beach balls. And there were these posters that had these beach balls on them, and they were prevention posters. And people were, you know, putting them up in different places of that nature. But as time went on, people understood that, and because they researched and studied, mm-hmm. that was not how it was transmitted. And, you know, it took a while before folks just chilled out about it, where they didn't act a fool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I say during that time frame, people's mindsets were different. You know, remember when Rock Hudson died and he was a celebrity and he had it, you know?
I remember that.
And it's like,
because he was a stud, right? He was the Mr. Hollywood.
Oh, Lord.
Mr.
Yeah. He was big time. So how dare could the big timers get it? Well, they get it like everybody else. You know, but seeing that happen back in the 80s and 90s and watch it progress over time, it took a long time for things to turn around and for the research to be conducted and for it to be where it is now, mm-hmm. with taking, you know, pills and changing your behavior. You know how hard it was to get people to wear a condom?
Mm-hmm.
My
a
Lord,
long time.
My Lord. Okay, some of y'all still now. I ain't calling names because I don't know any, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
You couldn't do it. They wasn't doing
progression.
It. Yeah, because it was in there. Oh, no, I don't want that. And, you know, then it was called the gay disease, and mm-hmm. then it was called this. And then when Ryan White, the little boy, got AIDS from the blood transfusion, that was a whole nother. So, you know, I'm
Arthur Ashe.
Right.
Blood transfusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm just saying that don't let enter in stupid conspiracy theories. Allow people who work in this healthcare field and the professionals who have spent their entire life training and getting the assistance that they need to be able to help save a life. Don't hate on them and don't block them. I mean, because it could be your life that they subsequently end up saving. But the behavior is a little bit different. Some stuff is still the same, mm-hmm. as it was during the HIV and herpes and all, and AIDS. It was the same, you know, but you know, just y'all need to get a grip on yourselves so that these researchers and the scientists can find vaccines and cures. We don't want a vaccine in an instant because the president said so, because he's not God and it's not his world. So, and before the election in November, I mean, that's not how that works. So I just want to tell y'all something to put that in the atmosphere. In the midst of all the other stuff that floats in the atmosphere, I have a little memory of how things were from that perspective. And it did make people, you know, they didn't have to wear a mask, but they didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, I mean, this stuff is just, it's parallel, but it's not. So just, you know, don't let the situation take you over and you lose your mind and then you can't get anything mm-hmm. done and then you are mentally crazy. Just like, for, you know, paranoid and stirring up controversy and lie. I mean, it's just, so, and having said that, that's been on my mind since I know a lot of you all work with the health department and mm-hmm. the Department of Health and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC. Y'all know I ain't making this up. Just ask them. Because they had to be part of the research and helping keep people's lives that's, you know, going and with advances and different things of that nature. They know exactly that I know I'm talking about because it's true. But this has just spun into absolute insanity. So Dr. Greger is going to share with us from his book here real shortly. I wanted to say that I'm tickled to death about next hour. Mm. I'm just like, how long has it been since Dr. Glaude been on?
Oh, wow.
Long time.
8 years, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows it. And apparently he loves me because mm-hmm. he said he would be with us today. So we're happy that Dr. Eddie Glaude is going to be back on the show. And he has a new book. And Dr. Glaude, as some of you may have, you know, you see him on Morning Joe, but that's not where he has got his fame. He was on the Tavis Smiley radio show and his TV show years ago as one of those people who, you know, black progressive thinkers. And he's written numerous books. But his latest one we're going to have on next hour, Begin Again. And, of course, Dr. Glaude is a distinguished professor at Princeton and an author and certainly welcome to have the discussion with him today. Now, I did ask you how your day was going, right? I didn't go so fast I missed it, right?
I'm good.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. All right. Well, you know, I'm exhaling now, so I got some energy in my brain. Yeah. I got oxygen. So, you know, I think I'm going to live so much in this week and last week that, you know, let me first ask God to be with all the families and the folks that have lost loved ones in the coronavirus, both statewide, nationally, and internationally. The numbers are still continuing to rise, and there's still families who are grieving and some in constant prayer with relatives in the hospital. So, you know, I think it's important, and I have thought that since the beginning, because I lost a loved one early on in this thing to coronavirus. So I've been praying for y'all, you know, for a long time. And I know exactly how that feels. So I never would have thought back in April when my cousin died that it would have gotten to this degree that it is now. So I'm really asking, bearing down and ask the Father to strengthen families and, you know, the bodies of the people who are sick so they can recover and do the best they can to help their families. Now, having said all of that, the a couple things that you and I, if we had a chance to talk today, we would have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That just came down the pike was the NBA, Milwaukee, boycotting the playoffs.
Yes.
Because of the shooting death of Jacob Blake.
That's correct.
So I'm grateful that those folks are finally, you know, not making it all on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know, thank God y'all got an ounce of courage.
Who still didn't get a contract?
No. But, you know, just the reverberation of the blessing of what he stood for. Because they still, you know, some mm-hmm. people are still trashing that man.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to understand because he went for the right and he didn't go for the money. Mm-hmm. He took and made a sacrifice. My. Have you sacrificed lately? Have you sacrificed? I mean, that to me is, you know, just from that gesture, and Lord knows how Donald Trump and his troops rained down on him heavy with criticism and negative, very extremely
negative. The president even negative cussed at them.
Yes, because they were standing for black folks and social justice. So as the black people stand up during the Republican National Convention and tell us how great this man is, Lord, just tell us, okay, because we can't see it or hear it.
Herschel Walker, where you at now?
Yeah, well, you know what? I used to love him.
I did too.
But I can't, I'm like, dude.
I saw that and I was like, oh my God.
Dude,
gosh.
You are too far removed.
Wow.
Okay, here's one thing I got to say. If I hear one more of them stories by black folk that have made it to the top saying, I remember when I was raised by sharecroppers down in Alabama, Lord, and mama and them built the house, and daddy, he built it with his own hands, and he went and got the lumber and cut down the trees, and that's how I grew up, and it didn't even have a bathroom in the house. I mean, if I hear one more of them stories, and then you turn around and forget from whence you've come. Mm-hmm. I am going to just scream. Y'all save those stories, okay? Because you, if you learned anything, you forgot it the moment that you crossed over to making money. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411? With Sharon
Kay. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Well, good afternoon. We're looking at this right here on 40 eastbound just past Broadway and the Mumbrium. It's got traffic really slow go here trying to get to the South Loop. It's more rubbernecking now than anything. The fire department is here. That's 40 eastbound just past Broadway. Clarksville Pike at Bernard. That's a wreck involving injuries. 4100 block of Hillsborough Pike. We saw that wreck a few minutes ago. This traffic report is brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken. Online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is in our spotlight for the very first time. Hear from jazz pianist, composer, and arranger Matthew Whitaker. His latest release is entitled Now Hear This. Don't miss the WFSK Feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
It's a brand new book. Many of you will no doubtably want to pick it up and, of course, read it as soon as possible, entitled How to Survive a Pandemic. I want to welcome to the show Dr. Michael Greger. He is a New York Times best-selling author, physician, and founding member and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Dr. Greger, it is so good to get your time today, and I hope that you're doing well.
I'm so glad to be here.
Well, excellent. Now, I know your phone has been ringing off the hook about this subject and so many others. So let's just dive right in. You, what I do like at the very beginning, you go from explaining in the storm gathering section how we get to places like COVID-19, et cetera. Could you get us started on talking about what all you cover and how the dots connect in Storm Gathering, Chapter 1?
Yeah, well, over the last few decades, hundreds of human pathogens have emerged at a rate unprecedented in human history. You say, wait a second, emerged from where? Mostly from animals. The AIDS virus is blamed on the butchering of primates and the bushmeat trade in Africa. Mad cow disease was because we turned cows into carnivores and cannibals. SARS and COVID-19 have been traced back to the exotic wild animal trade. But our last pandemic, swine flu in 2009, arose not from some backwater wet market in Asia, but was largely made in the USA on industrial pig operations in the United States. Now, thankfully, swine flu only killed about 500,000 people, but the next time, we might not be so lucky.
Right, right. So knowing that that's the case and the progression of this, it would seem like after all this time, we would have learned some things. And it doesn't seem as though we are. I know you all in science have and healthcare have, but as far as the rest of the world, we're not getting it on so many levels. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, it's difficult to think about something as devastating as a serious pandemic. I mean, maybe COVID-19 is the dry run we needed, the kind of fire drill to wake us out of our complacency and reform the food system before it's too late. You know, as devastating as COVID-19 has been, it may just be a dress rehearsal for an even greater threat waiting in the wings of chickens. According to the CDC, the leading candidate for the next pandemic after COVID-19 is a bird flu virus known as H7N9, which is 100 times deadlier than COVID-19. Instead of 1 in 250 people die, H7N9 has killed 40% of people it infects. And the last time a bird flu virus jumped directly to humans and caused a pandemic, it triggered the deadliest plague in history, the 1918 pandemic, which killed 50 million people. Now, that had a 2% death rate. I mean, what if we had a pandemic infecting billions where death was you know, closer to a flip of a coin? I mean, that the thought of something like that is just so horrific, I think it's difficult for people to think about it.
Now, folks have heard various and sundry animals connected to COVID. They've heard about fish, and they've heard about monkeys, and they've heard about everything. But you're saying chickens?
Well, for the next pandemic, that is the leading candidate, is this H7N9 bird flu virus. The good news is there's something we can do about it. You know, just as eliminating the exotic animal trade and live animal markets may go a long way toward preventing the next coronavirus pandemic, reforming the way we raise domestic animals for food may help forestall the next killer flu. Because you know, when we overcrowd thousands of animals in these cramped, filthy football field-sized sheds, to lie beak to beak or snout to snout atop their own waste, it's just a breeding ground for disease. The sheer number of animals, the overcrowding, the stress crippling their immune systems, the ammonia from the decomposing waste burning their lungs, lack of fresh air, lack of sunlight. Put all these factors together, and you really have kind of a perfect storm environment for the emergence and spread of these so-called super strains of influenza. The bottom line is it's not worth risking the lives of millions of people for the sake of cheaper chicken.
Most definitely. Now, you, I want to skip back to page 190, when animal viruses attack. You write on that page, about halfway down, the maintenance of an effective immune system is metabolically very costly. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our immune cells, our white blood cells, our immune soldiers in our body are actually more metabolically active than even our heart cells, our heart muscle cells, which are, you know, beating every day of our lives. And that's because they can be producing millions of these antibodies, these targeted molecules that attack pathogens such as viruses. And so when we are breeding animals for productivity rather than disease resistance, so breeding meat-type chickens for breast mass, accelerated breast mass muscle production, or breeding egg-laying hens for egg production at the expense of everything else, they get very good at doing that one thing, but in terms of the resources that are being allocated, the protein, the energy, the food that they're eating, if they push it all towards production, unfortunately, we're left with animals, the current breeds of animals with shriveled immune organs, making them susceptible for diseases, which is not just costly for the industry, but there are public health implications of having a global flock of birds with impaired immune systems, because they can harbor viruses like influenza that can trigger future human pandemics.
Well, over the years, you've heard people talk about free range, this and that, and germ free, this and that, and they only will eat things that are, that aren't raised or developed in that fashion that would cause the problems. Is that a good idea, or are we just spending a lot of money on things? Because we don't know for sure if, packaging and et cetera, do we really know the facts?
Well, it is important to reform the way we're raising animals. We need to give these animals some more breathing room. They're the ones who could use a little social distancing. But we have studies showing them measures as simple as providing straw for pigs so they don't have the immunosuppressive stress of living on bare concrete their whole lives can significantly cut down on swine flu transmission rates. But I think in the long run, we really need to follow the Pew Commission's recommendation to abolish these extreme confinement practices like gestation crates, like they've done over in Europe. The public health community has been shouting from the rooftops that we need to declare a moratorium on these factory farms, like the American Public Health Association. But unfortunately, we don't tend to kind of shore up the levees until after disaster strikes. Along with human culpability, though, comes hope. If changes in human behavior can cause new plagues, well, then hopefully changes in human behavior may prevent them in the future.
So knowing that, and you cover this in the book, that viruses and the diseases go from animal to person, how does working at a meat packing plant where production is king, how is that healthy, and are those some of the worst places to work?
Well, they certainly are from both a workplace injury standpoint, as well as a COVID-19 infectious standpoint, for a number of reasons. They pack in these workers shoulder to shoulder. The machinery is so loud that they have to shout at each other. They shout into each other's ears for any kind of communication. And when you shout, you release more of these respiratory droplets. It's also kept very cold in these areas. That may help the virus to survive on environmental surfaces. And these are often workers that don't have the health care that they need, and so they may come to work sick. They don't have sick time. Sometimes they may not even have bathroom breaks in some of these poultry processing facilities. And so, unfortunately, these workers are really suffering disproportionately. Some of our biggest outbreaks happening not only in prisons, but happening in these meatpacking plants. And the irony is that these are some of our least essential things. We don't need to be eating these factory farm chicken, and in fact, it may be increasing, ironically, our risk for future infectious disease threats. And so we really need to accelerate the movement away from kind of traditional animal agriculture towards some of these plant-based milks and meats and plant-based egg products that we're seeing taking over grocery store shelves. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, major meat producers are leading the way. Tyson, Purdue, Smithfield, Hormel, mm-hmm. Cargill. I mean, they've been innovating us out of this precarious situation by mm-hmm. making these kind of plant-based meat alternatives, the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger. KFC is now has these plant-based chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. Can't even tell the difference. And so, they're healthier, but also in terms of a pandemic risk standpoint, zero risk. Mm-hmm. So it's really about shifting the entire food supply over towards safer means of production.
Today's book is How to Survive a Pandemic, and I'm happy to have Dr. Michael Greger with me. He is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, How Not to Die, and that's the key, everybody, how not to. That intro, there is some people are experiencing what's being called COVID fatigue, or, they need a pandemic pause because they can't take it and handle it anymore. If this got worse than what it is now, I don't know what Americans would do. They seem to be so hard to understand. This is serious. What can you remind the audience so they bring it home to them? Because the number of deaths doesn't seem to impact a lot of people.
Well, you know, it's all about, the different transmission in the community. I mean, mm-hmm. so if you look at what areas in the country have it best able to tamp this down, if you look at an area like New York City, they mm-hmm. they were remarkably able to shut this virus down, but that's because they could see it. They had overwhelmed hospitals. Their ICU beds were at max capacity and forced to actually choose to mm-hmm. triage individuals, who gets ventilators, who doesn't. And so when they saw that kind of carnage in mm-hmm. their city, they were able to really, so when they shut down the city, people respected the mask laws, the physical distancing yeah. laws, closing down indoor dining and bars and the places, the indoor crowded, poorly ventilated areas, which are the highest risk. Mm-hmm. And they were able to shut this disease down very much like other countries have been able right. To dramatically reduce the risk of transmission. And they've been able to keep it down, but other areas of the country that have yet to suffer mm-hmm. That kind of severe situation may become complacent. And so, people want to go back. They want to be social. They want to get back to the bars. But mm-hmm. you really have to recognize that the more we do that, the longer this right. whole thing exactly. is going to take for us to get over.
Exactly.
And so we really do have to have the patience.
Yeah, exactly.
To stay away from each other so we can shut this down before it gets even worse.
Well, and that's the thing about it. It's like, if you want life to go back to normal, then you can't do this, continue going to the parties and packing in. I mean, you just can't, you wear a mask and quit complaining. And I don't know if it's regional, because this is the South. I don't know if that's it, or people are so ginned up here. It just is like, Lord God, we'll never get through this thing. And nothing seems to penetrate them until they themselves get sick. And then suddenly it's a miracle. Now in chapter 4, Surviving the COVID-19 Pandemic. Oh my, let's get down to the brass tacks of what this book is really all about.
Oh, well, I mean, so it goes through talking not only about the policy things you need to do in terms of closing places down where COVID spreads and yeah. testing and isolating, tracing, quarantining, but all the personal things we can do. Look, the yeah. virus can't get to you. I mean, you can't get the virus unless the virus can get to you. So I talk about all the, just standard common sense measures we can take.
Yes.
I talk about masks,
yes.
disinfection, and the goal is to end mm-hmm. up in that 30-40% of the populace that when this thing finally ends, never got infected, so you never have to risk
right.
any of the long-term consequences of infection.
Well, some people seem to think that as soon as the vaccine comes, then boom, happy days are here again. But that's not the case, is it, Dr. Greger?
Well, I mean, the problem is the vaccine is going to be a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as all the talk is, the general population will probably not have access to this vaccine until the second half of next year. Mm-hmm. And this is assuming that people have long-standing immunity, that the vaccine gives people long-standing immunity. Things are looking good in that direction. People who have been infected even months ago appear to maintain antibodies within their system. Mm-hmm. And so we're really hopeful that we can have a safe, effective vaccine which will slow the spread of this virus. But again, the vaccine we should not expect to be accessible mm-hmm. For many months to come. Mm-hmm. And without a vaccine, then the so-called herd immunity can only be achieved the hard way through mm-hmm. mass infection. Mm-hmm. And that would involve lots of disability, particularly among those who are older and have these underlying risk factors for disease, such as obesity, yeah. heart disease, hypertension, type yeah. 2 diabetes. And then because these underlying risk factors are so much more prevalent in the South, the so-called mm-hmm. stroke belt in the mm-hmm. United States that actually comes right down through Nashville, mm-hmm. It's critically important to take better care of ourselves. We should use this kind of opportunity to, you know, get sufficient sleep, keep active, reduce stress, start eating healthier to protect us in the future against chronic disease and right now yeah. from the current infectious threat.
Well, you addressed the use of zinc on page 251. What's in that section of your book, Dr. Greger?
I'm sorry, the use of what?
Zinc.
Oh, zinc, yes. So those with zinc deficiency can benefit from taking zinc in terms of reducing the mortality rates from pneumonia, particularly among pediatric populations. Mm-hmm. But all the studies that show that those randomized to take zinc supplements were protected from respiratory infections mm-hmm. were done in countries with micronutrient deficiencies, such as Ecuador, Uganda, in developed countries where people are not suffering from nutrition deficiencies, taking extra zinc mm-hmm. Would not be expected to actually reduce one's risk of infection. And so certainly if there are people who are alcoholics or who've had bariatric surgery mm-hmm. or something that could increase the risk of nutrient deficiency, zinc may help them. But if you've been eating healthfully all along, eating your legumes, beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils, mm-hmm. Whole grains, nuts and seeds, that's where zinc is found. If you've been eating these foods, taking extra zinc will probably not protect you from infection.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, you also further the discussion on wearing a mask in public. What is your opinion that you write it in this book?
Well, my concern with masks is that it may give people a false sense of security. They're mm-hmm. better than nothing, but they don't reduce the risk as much as most people think. And so I'm afraid that it would cause people, mm-hmm. lure people into this false sense of security such that they will be closer to others for longer periods of time mm-hmm. in enclosed indoor crowded spaces, mm-hmm. Thinking the mask is going to protect them, but they're actually putting themselves at risk. The most important things we can do, distance, staying apart from people, mask or no mask, though they are certainly better than nothing yeah. when you are forced to be in a situation where you can escape others.
Yeah.
But ideally, it would be to reduce risk of infection. We should not place ourselves in those situations if possible whatsoever.
So how would that work for first responders and frontline workers? For them?
They have access to what are called N95 masks. So mm-hmm. those masks are quite effective in reducing one's risk for the wearer. But most of these cloth-based face coverings and surgical masks, they're mm-hmm. actually not to protect you. not to protect the wearer, to protect other people from you, because days after becoming infected, you may look perfectly fine, feel perfectly fine, but be exhaling virus with every breath because you're contagious before you start showing your first symptoms. Mm-hmm. So it's actually to protect other people from these tiny droplets that are spit out when you speak to others. But there are these special N95 masks that do actually protect the wearer, but they need to be fitted to the face. You can't have any facial hair. It's critical to have an airtight seal so we can protect our those on the front lines in the hospitals.
Dr. Greger, could you please address the demographics? You know, children won't get it, young people won't get it. We all know that's not true. Can you speak on that? And in the young ones, is there a different strain of this, or is it all part of the same COVID-19?
It's all part of the same COVID-19, but young children, so we're not talking teens, we're talking preteen children, do not seem to be able to transmit the virus at the same levels that teens and adults do. So we have to differentiate between teens and preteens. Teenagers do seem to be able to spread this virus like adults do. And so in terms of school reopening, it would be less risky for younger children to go back to school, but of course less risky for them, but not as what about the teachers? What about those older individuals who are in those situations? And of course, what if those small children go back to house multi-generational households where the grandparents may be at higher risk? So it's not just the heart disease, obesity, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, but being over age 65, age 70 puts you at risk for a severe course in this disease. It could certainly have been a lot worse. We're looking at case fatality rates, only about 0.4. So only about 1,250 people die from this disease. We need to protect the most vulnerable individuals, and so that's those who are older and those with these pre-existing medical conditions.
Dr. Greger, lastly, before I go, could you just, in your thoughts, to leave us with what to make sure that we do so we don't have to, history doesn't have to repeat itself. Can we please make sure of this so we won't repeat this in a few more years?
Yeah, well, you know, we may be one bushmeat meal away from the next HIV, one pangolin plate away from the next killer coronavirus, and one factory farm away from the next killer flu. But by reforming the food system before it's too late, we may be able to prevent the next pandemic. So I encourage people to check out my book, How to Survive a Pandemic. All the proceeds I receive are donated to charity. I just want everyone to have access to this life-saving information.
Excellent. Today's book, How to Survive a Pandemic. Grateful to have Dr. Michael Greger with me today, best-selling author of How Not to Die and founder of NutritionFacts.org. Dr. Greger, this was fascinating. I hate I'm out of time because I had 1,000 more questions to ask you. But there's, I'm sure, tons of research and work. Just put in your name and it probably all pops up, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your service to mankind and health.
Keep up the good work yourself.
Yes, sir. All right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Trying to finish this wreck out here on the South Loop. It's 40 East, just past Broadway and Demumbrium. They've been out here for a while. Checking your wreck at Myatt Drive at Gallatin Pike in Madison. It's starting to get busy now on 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out towards Rutherford County up through that construction passing Bell Road. This traffic report is brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken, online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This weekend on Blue Slam in the City.
Well, at one point in the intro,
that's Laddie Moore, and what is he talking about? It's good, and he'll explain this weekend. Willie Clayton drops by to talk about his new project, and the late great master of the Telecaster, Albert Collins, will perform one of his past performances live. Join me, Rosine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Bisque University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And thank you to Dr. Gregor, Michael Gregor, for his discussion this afternoon, how to survive a pandemic. Does it sound the same as what you've heard, redundant or different? Or
I think it depends on where you consume your information.
Well, I already know where you probably consume yours, okay?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't work here and get it from the garbage can. mm-hmm. Because, you know, and you don't seem like that kind of person anyway. So I'm asking you personally, not... You know that.
I've heard it in different places. Some of it seems like, with the exception of wearing the masks mm-hmm. and the washing of the hands, that there are things that we've heard before.
Mm-hmm. Well, always with everybody.
Yeah.
The wearing of the mask goes back to the other pandemic, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to wear them then either.
Mm-hmm. We read what happens, right. Don't we?
1918. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do it then, and they don't want to do it now. And I just, you know, to me, just as an observational point, it was so pleasant to see Joe Biden and his wife wearing them, and Kamala Harris and her wife.
Yes.
And not putting it in politics, but putting it into the perspective it should be, and that's saving a life. And, you know, I just saw that as...
Common sense.
Well, don't start me up, Lord.
I just...
don't start me up, Lord.
It's just shocking that people would think that it's a hoax and think that...
It was just going to disappear?
That and just, I mean... And for an entire news organization to, behind the scenes, follow the doctor's advice, but then publicly mm-hmm. broadcast to everyone the nonsense.
Because it's not about the news.
Yeah.
It's just about making money, hustling.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, just can I just
at the expense of your viewers.
Know, I don't have to go to the dictionary and pick a fine word. It's just hustling.
At the expense of your viewers. So if your viewers... are getting bad information because you're putting it out there, and then now that they're not around anymore to support your business, then doesn't that sort of hurt you?
Well, the folks would be like, well, hate your luck. I mean, you know. So I just really, you know, I'm, it's just very, very difficult in some circumstances to, you know, to give it the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. when the entire segment or the entire network or whatever it is, man, I don't know. And, you know, just because folks watch it don't make it right.
Yeah.
Their whole mission is misinformation.
But then you have the politicians.
And conspiracies.
The politicians.
And craziness.
Who should know better, who perpetuate it.
They love it.
On their own constituents.
Because they're not even thinking about that.
Wow.
That's not what they do it for.
So if their own
it's about winning, honey.
Sick.
Winning.
Well,
winning. Okay. Right. Winning. That's it.
That's it. Power.
Winning.
All right.
Your health is in your hands. You got to save yourselves,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Winning. and winning is more important than
anything else.
Of course. Winning. That's it. Except for when that's not the plan of up above plan. Y'all know the one you don't have access to.
So even when Steve Bannon gets caught red-handed.
Winning.
Yeah, I guess just racketing those people, the same people, they still don't care.
Well, his thought is like the rest of the band of crooks, is that they'll get pardoned.
And so the people whose money he's taken, just they allow him to just take the money and then declare that this was just some left-wing conspiracy theory, and then he gets pardoned for it.
Because the wall was going to stop the germs.
Wow.
It was going to stop the virus. There's so much about,
wow,
you know, this weekend,
man.
You know, this thing, it's, you know, like, it definitely is like a mini series. It's not, you know.
You're taking your money and your health.
Yes, of course. I mean, I said you're on your own winning.
While you cheer.
Winning.
While you cheer.
Winning.
Wow.
And you know, yeah. And other people know or smart enough to, they might be still in La La Land, that what you put out, you're getting back. Okay,
it's my constitutional right not to wear a mask.
Well, you go ahead and put it out, okay? Keep putting it out and see what comes back to haunt you. Would that be the part where the chickens come home to roost? I'm just asking. Because, you know, some people know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't and don't understand it and got to look it up on Google. However, that, you know, the folks that's fully conscious and awake, they know exactly what that means. Okay. I just want to mention these couple of things as we go to the very tip top of the hour. A judge has ordered Tennessee election officials to clearly communicate on absentee ballot applications that people can vote by mail if they think health conditions will make voting in person too risky during the pandemic. And well, thank the Lord, the judge had to come in and say so.
Gosh.
State officials promised the Tennessee Supreme Court that they would inform voters of that eligibility. Well, thank God. The justices have overturned a no excuses vote by mail option for nearly all voters. But Davidson County Chancellor Ellen Hobbs Lyle says the state isn't being clear enough with the voters that underlying health conditions qualify. My Lord. Well, we're going to have to do our part here. Republican Secretary of State Trey Hargett's office says the judge is legislating from the bench again. On behalf of the people, oh my, what a shock. And, you know, it just seems as though our state should have been having mail-in voting.
Yeah.
If the goal is to give the citizens the right to what they have rightfully have,
mm-hmm.
and that is the right to vote. Stop blocking it, because you're blockers and you know what that means. So I'm just, you know, I'm saying. Anyway, and I got a couple things coming up on the show on subject matter such as that. Now here's one that's just, you know, as just right straight from what the book was about. Out of Nashville, Tennessee is facing a lawsuit Oh, Republican Governor Bill Lee's decision to let counties issue certain orders to curb the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly citing their ability to require people to wear masks. The group Citizens for Limited Government and Constitutional Integrity, also known as Tennessee Stands, and two individuals filed a lawsuit this week at the Davidson County Chancery Court. The lawsuit claims the state law dealing with the governor's powers during an emergency violates sections of the Tennessee Constitution, in there or including provisions about the separation of powers. An opinion by the state attorney general cites the law in describing the governor's ability to delegate duties during an emergency. So, the Citizens for Limited Government and Constitutional Integrity will be the people that you will see out here that don't want to wear masks because it's so simple.
So they want limited government in their lives.
But they're going to the mat to the government and saying, we don't want you to help save people's lives.
Will those be the same type of people who want to tell women what to do with their bodies?
Yes, those people.
Oh.
And everybody else to do with everything else except for them.
So they don't want that, but they want that.
No, I mean, there's so much. They, you know what? They may not want black folk to vote. Okay, let's go to news. Let's go to news. Just give you something to think about. Just give you something to think about.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.